Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And today is a very special day with our friend, Mr. Dan Fraley, and he's going to share with us some things that really need to help us take our eyes off what is going on in our own problems today. But first of all, we would like to ask our Lord to be over this conversation. I'm going to ask Mr. Dan Fraley if he'll start us off with prayer. Hi, Mr. Dan.
Hello. I'd be glad to. Let's go to the Lord. Abba, Father, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for all the mighty things that you do in our lives. And Lord, we know that it's getting close to your imminent return, your second advent. And Father, we know this because of the trials and the tribulations and the birth pains that is coming upon this world. Lord, we just ask you to be with us through these times, and you said that you would take care of those that you love and who love you. And Father, we just we depend on you for those promises. And Father, as we come into these last of the last days, we ask you to bless the things that we do and help us be mindful of your kingdom and you as our king, and to be working in your fields before the time runs out. Father, we ask you to bless the things that we're saying here. And we ask you to bring down your Holy Spirit and touch our tongues, Lord, that we may say only the things that glorify and edify you and your kingdom. And Lord, we just praise you and give you all the thanks. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Mr. Dan. And listeners, if you've not heard Mr. Dan, he is so gracious. I don't think he ever says no to me when I ask him to come on. I can always depend on that, and it's because he has a heart for the lost. And today many people are hurting, so we're going to break away from our usual topic of, you know, politics and talk about the things beyond, well, really politics. It's all in, God is in everything, so it's in politics too. But I think today we want to deal with the signs of the time so that, you know, we can have a reset. I know sometimes I get into what I'm doing with Common Core, and y'all hear us talk about it a lot, and it just gets to be a little bit overwhelming at times. So so that I have to do what David Barton says in the beginning of our show every time. David Barton says to remember. And Mr. Dan Fraley, you're a student, a teacher of Hebraic roots, and I remember you talking about how important that word is, remember. Here, I'm going to share a little bit about the importance of us remembering.
Well, remembering in Hebrew is also means to practice or to, you know, it's kind of like preparing for a play or, you know, you're doing things over and over. And in order to remember things, we have repetitive things in school when we're wanting to learn something or learn lines or whatever. It's a repetitive thing. So the very word in Hebrew to remember means to repeat it continuously and to practice it. And that's very important. When even in the Ten Commandments where it says to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And it also says in the Old Testament that it's a sign unto the nations and to us and to him, those who honor and keep the Sabbath. A lot of Christians, they have gone with the notion that was given to us because of the Catholic Church changing the Sabbath, that the Sunday has been changed to the Sabbath, but that's not so. The Sabbath will always be the seventh day of the week, and the first day of the week is always Sunday. And I'm not saying that it's bad to go to church on Sunday and to glorify God on the first day of the week, because we as Christians give our first fruits to the Lord. But on the Jewish calendar, when the sun goes down, the day starts until the next day the sun goes down. The Sabbath starts at Friday night when the sun goes down, and it lasts until the sun goes down on Saturday night. And that's a time that we need to remember and to keep holy. It's a day that was made for us, set aside that we may bask in the rest of and knowledge of the Lord, and that's what we need to focus on. And it's a good thing. I know a lot of pastors, they prepare their sermons and things on the Sabbath so that when they go into the church on the Sunday, the first day, they're prepared. But as one of the prophecies in the end time, keeping the Sabbath is an important thing. So those of you out there that are listening that are Christians, don't be fooled and duped into thinking that Sunday is the Sabbath and Saturday is just another day. Saturday is the Sabbath, and that should be a day lifted up to the Lord along with Sunday. There's no problem, like I say, with doing it on Sunday.
Wow, I love that. Well, now it's wonderful how God is over the conversation, because, Mr. Dane, you just made me think of the importance of remembering and practicing. And, you know, these days we talk a lot about Common Core, and Common Core wants little children to think deeper and higher. They pretty much, you know, allow them to talk about amongst themselves to find out the best solution to, like, even a math problem that used to we would fix. You know, we would know how to work it, 2 times 2 equals 4, and we would practice. We would practice over and over again until we're very proficient in remembering that math tables. And I'm thinking to myself, Mr. Dan, that we have come away from things that are really like biblical training. Because I know that, you know, you tell us about, you know, how the Jewish people, they really remember, you know, over and over again the Word of God. It's not like something they just come among themselves and decide at young age, fourth grade, third grade, that this is the answer to such and such. You know, it's pretty much they're taught. And then, you know, they're taught to remember it. And so it's so important. And I think we have gotten away. You know, God's ways are the best way. And it seems like man is so busy sometimes just reinventing the way that God has taught us to learn things.
Well, the new world order and the worldly system that seems like everybody's trying to get in motion, and we have been probably ever since the First World War, and before then, if you go back to the Ottoman Empire, the Roman Empire, so on and so forth, but there's always been a vying for someone to control the complete world, to control everything, and that is the leadership of the sons of Adam, and we as spiritual beings who have thrown off the flesh, so to speak, and taken on the spiritual mindset. This is not our world, and we are not a part of this world, and there's a lot of things that are happening in this world that we're not going to agree with, we can't accept, like Common Core, like the Obamacare, and so some of these other issues that's coming out. The United Nations taking over a lot of the enforcing of the laws, the maritime laws, and so on. It goes on and on. A lot of things are being snuck in and you know, under our noses that we don't see, that's going to change the way we live drastically. Because behind the closed doors where all the money and the power is someone or a group of people that are trying to set up a one-world government. Now, there's different factions in the world that's trying to do that. Of course, Islam's trying to do it, and the UN's trying to do it, the EU's trying to do it, and so on and so forth. But as spiritual beings, these things, we realize, and when we read prophecy, these things have to take place. Man is always going to try to build his united kingdom, but the true one world government, of course, is going to be in control by the Messiah when he comes. And that's what we need to focus on. That's what we need to keep our attention on. We worry about all these things that's coming upon us, but these are all prophesied. These things have to take place. You know, if you could have seen in the future 20 years ago and see where we are now, you would not believe that these things are would take place, that we see taking place today. But scripturally, we can understand it better because it talks about it being as birth pains of a woman in travail, and any woman who has had a child knows that the birth pains come more frequent and they're more intense just before the baby is born. And it's the same way with the coming of the Messiah. These problems that are coming upon us are going to get more intense, and they're going to get more severe the closer we get to his coming.
And Mr. Dan, you know, it's so good to get in the Word because we do realize that, you know, he has sent us warnings. So if you don't mind, tell the listeners about the warnings that God has given us in his Word and where they can turn in the Word of God.
Well, there's prophecy everywhere. Even in Psalms is full of prophecy. If you want to know the Antichrist nation that's going to come pretty much trying to take over the world, you can read Psalms 2 and you can read Ezekiel 38. Basically, it's the Islamic nations. They are the Antichrist nations. And if you study scripture closely and learn, you know, the seed of Satan that was in Turkey and some of these other things, you realize that here in this day and time, in the prophecies, it names the old nation names, Meshach, Tabal, and so on. If you take it back to the ancients, you realize where these places are. The names in the Bible are the antique names of the nations, but they're still going to be the nations that are going to be viable in the future. Turkey is an interesting nation to keep your eyes on right now because they are already trying to be the mediator between the East and the West, and they have been for a while. Even though they're an Islamic nation, they've been very westernized. But, you know, just recently they've been pretty much taken over by the government by a more radical faction of this, but they're still wanting to be the mediator. And it's just a natural thing that they're going to be the seat between the decisions that's made between the West and the East. And so I see that the Antichrist's power and his throne is going to probably be in and through somewhere in Turkey, even though he may not be Turkish himself. If you remember, the caliphate of the Ottoman Turks was also in Turkey. And a lot of people don't realize how great of a, you know, they were just like Rome. They were a huge empire. They were taking over the world at that time. They were destroying everything, and everybody even had gotten into Europe, into southern Spain and Portugal and so on and so forth. But When the caliphate was destroyed in the early 1900s and the British took over the Middle East, that was kind of like wounding the head that it speaks of in Revelations. that the beast with the head wound would revive. But we're starting to see the revival of the Turkish country. And if we keep our eyes on the revival of the caliphate that comes through the Islamic nation, now Islam is not going to get it together until they have one person making the decision or one cabinet, and that's going to be the caliphate. And once the caliphate is set up, then, of course, the Mahdi, their Messiah, will come. And the Messiah, which they call Isa, which in Arabic means Jesus, he will come to slaughter the Jews and the Christians, which, of course, is just ridiculous to those who believe in Christ and know that Christ shed his blood for our sins. And he loved us so much that he did this, and he gave us a free gift of grace. You know, it's a total different mindset. But their Christ, their Messiah, their Jesus is going to edify Muhammad as being the true and the great prophet of Allah. And of course, they're going to try to set all that up, mimicking the actual the Messiah that comes. You know, Satan mimics everything. They're going to have their Trinity, of course, and we have our triune God. So there's a lot of similarities, and this is not done by chance. This is done to defool and to deceive even the very elect in the last days. You know, Matthew 24 is a good place to read about this, that Jesus warns that even the very elect could be duped into thinking that you're following the wrong Messiah.
Mr. Dan, I did not know that Jesus' name, well, what translation of that? Are you talking about in the Turkish language?
Arabic.
In Arabic?
Yeah, they believe in Jesus, but they believe that all the writings that we have and the Jews have been distorted, that Jesus is a type of Messiah, but his only purpose to come is to help Islam fight against Christians and Jews to annihilate them off the earth so that true peace can be, you know, on the earth. And the only way that they can have true peace is to get the big Satan and the little Satan gone, and of course the little Satan Israel, and the big Satan is not the United States like everybody thinks. It's the nation of Christ. It's the body of Christ. As being the U.S., but it's more than the U.S. It's the Christian, and of course they look at the United States as being a Christian nation. Maybe not so much anymore, but that's what it has been.
Wow, that is interesting, because I did not know that.
The scriptures talk about there will be signs in the heavens in the last days, and I don't know if you've been following a lot of these sightings, these comets that are supposed to be coming into our solar system, and also talks about the triad blood moon that we'll have during Passover and during Tabernacles next year. You know, when you think of signs, it's not like the sky is going to split apart and meteors are hitting the earth and all this kind of thing. These are going to be a little more subtle. And the reason I say this, if you follow the blood moon, the happenings of the blood moon, you know that the first one that before these coming ones in the last recent years that we know was in 1948, when Israel became a nation in the spring of 1948. And the second one happened in 1967 when they took over Jerusalem. Well, the one that's coming up next year is going to be on Passover, and it's going to be a triple blood moon. And there's also going to be one at the Tabernacles that same year. So these are signs. You know, God set these up to happen at specific times, and the scripture says those who have eyes to see and ears to hear will know the seasons of his return, but not the day nor the hour. So if we're astute and we follow scriptures and we follow the signs that he's placed before us, we'll know that we are getting near. Now, does that mean that the Christ will come next year. No, that's not what I mean. Those are the signs of his imminent return. And then the following year, there's going to be another blood moon in 2015. If there's going to be a rapture, that's probably when it'll take place, and that'll probably be the starting of the seven-year peace treaty that will be signed by the Antichrist or the Mahdi of the Islamic nations to set up peace, the caliphate or whatever. We'll see. But things are starting to happen real rapidly, and the signs are coming next year. We're going to see so many changes. We thought we saw a lot in this last year, the last couple of years, with record floods and all these other things. We haven't seen anything yet. They're going to get more intense, and then they're going to be capped off by the blood moon episodes, which are signs on those high holy days on the Jewish calendar of Passover and first fruits and unleavened bread, and during Yom Kippur and Sukkot in the fall of the year, and then the next year on Passover again. So we need to be ready, and we need to start focusing. You know, everybody's having problems right now. If you are a Christian and you are trying to get yourself righteous and you're wanting the anointing that you need to get through these days, well, remember that along with that anointing comes persecution, becomes trials and tribulations, because to be an anointed one and working in the kingdom, Satan is going to be on you like you know what. But these are the things we do need to strive for, because our scriptures tell us that the prayers of righteous people avail. So we need to keep ourselves righteous. And that doesn't mean, coming to church 1 hour, maybe 2 hours a week and think that you're a righteous person. Righteousness is a daily walk. It's a daily relationship with the Lord, with the Messiah, and with God. And that's not what we need to focus on. Now, he has given us the things that we need to be prepared during these rough times. The armor of God that's spoken of in Ephesians that Paul talks about is a good example of this. These are the methods in which we will be able to ward off these fiery darts and to have the knowledge to fight Satan and the swords, the scriptures that we need out of the Bible to use against him. When he does return, this is a lot of people think, oh, we're going to get raptured off the earth, we're going to heaven, we'll be out of the trouble. You better read your scriptures a little closer. We meet him in the air. We come back as soldiers. He's coming back as the Gideon Messiah, the fighting Messiah with his chosen few. And where are they fighting? They're fighting in Edom. They're fighting in all the Muslim nations that surround Israel. And what are they fighting with? The fire that comes out of their mouth. It's going to be a spiritual thing. You read about the two witnesses having the power to slay people with the fire that comes out of the mouth, the word, during the time of their prophecy. Well, if you can imagine 144,000 of those doing basically the same thing, going across the Muslim nations, and not necessarily 144,000, whoever the rapture are, the 144,000 is going to be those who were like Apostle Paul's going out and witnessing during the millennial period.
Wow, that is so exciting, Mr. Dan. And, it's so good to have a time to reset. And that's why I love Sundays. I love to hear, to be in the church, to hear my pastor. It does me a lot of good to have a reset, to put things in order in my mind. And also, as you're reminding us, the power of the Word of God, it is powerful. And I think that's more and more what I'm seeing is you can be on top of the world financially. And then with the blink of an eye with this Obama administration, I hate to say it, we really have to pray for President Obama and the administration, because they're doing so many things that are hurting families, and it's tearing families apart. We're hearing things where, the insurance is, making a lot of people just moan and groan because a lot of them can't afford to pay the insurance. And then, you know, even though they're working maybe another job, you know, even that's not sufficient. So there's an awful lot of people hurting. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, God cannot be pleased with that. So, but I thank God what you're reminding us, which is really there is power in the Word of God, and it does make a difference for us.
Well, it's not only the national government, it's also the local governments. Even though we are in, I think, a severe depression in aspects of our society, they continually going, they're going up on taxes and property taxes and personal property taxes. You know, they're hitting us from every direction. The insurance companies for automobiles and homes and stuff is skyrocketing because of the legislation that's passed locally. Look at the, now you and I can remember that 20 years ago, the state of Alabama had a law that you could not charge, I forget what the percentage was, but it wasn't much interest on a loan, so to keep loan sharks out of this state. And then overnight, legislation gets passed, and what do you see now? You see these title loan places on every corner. In Dothan alone, on Montgomery Highway, at my little frame shop down there, we counted over 18 title loan places. These people are ripping the poor folks off. There's and these companies are owned by the people that are also ripping us off in the banks with overdraft charges. They're kicking the poor people while they're down. Our judicial system is pretty much gauged on making profit from indigent people. They keep them coming back into the system, back into the courthouse, constantly charging them for every little thing, going to this, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to go take this class, you got to take that class. And they take their driver's license away from them. They can't work, but yet they have to come up with the money. So it's just a vicious circle. And I wish I knew exactly where the scripture was in the Bible that talks about woe unto those who balance their books on the backs of the needy. And that's what's happening in this nation and a lot of nations in the world, and it's going to get worse. Those of us who, I'm not even the middle class, I'm considering myself poor. But even the middle class is getting ripped apart. They're either becoming poor, I don't know too many of them that's breaking over the threshold into to having the wealth. But and then you think about how sad it is that even the poorest people in this nation are in the 5th percentile of the world of rich people. Does that make sense? Because there are places in the world where we don't even understand the degree of poverty that they're going through.
Well, yeah. And one of the most, and you know, when you were just speaking about this, Mr. Dan, you know, I think to myself, you know, isn't that what happens when evil people reign? You know, because as we have seen with the shutdown of the government, who is it that's being kept out of the war memorials? It's our veterans who have given their very best. I mean, somebody had to go out of their way and put tape around an open-air museum, a war memorial. And I also hear of, you know, like restaurants that's there by the park. They're being closed down, even though they're private business. And it's like, you know, this is unfortunately what happens when people who really do not think about the lowly man is in places of power. Power corrupts. And we see it, you know, we see it every day. It's just, but then I guess that's what happens when good people don't do their job. You know, I get so distraught when I hear the body of Christ say, you know, I really don't care about you know, politics. And I'm thinking, Mr. Dan, I say this over and over in my mind, how good is it of God to allow us to be in this nation, the freest country on earth, and then we kind of stick our fist up at him and say we don't want it, you know, we don't guard it, we don't protect it, we don't honor the government that he has given us so that we can have, you know, godly leaders and it may go well with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think God has exactly who he wants in office right now to bring this stress upon us because of our past actions and our sins. I mean, to me, the church has been asleep, and they're asleep now. If we were truly warriors, we would be standing up already and demanding that the president get out. We would demand that Congress would, you know, they worry about this health care thing, but if they've already proven that his birth certificate is a forgery, so why don't they just push that issue, get him out of office, then automatically the health care thing falls apart. It's just we are tolerating something that shouldn't be tolerated, but it's our own fault because we did not stand up and take action. We allowed the evil side of things pretty much to take control. And now that they got control, we're realizing how hard it is to gain our control back. And it may be impossible before the Lord comes.
Well, yes, the good hoping. Thing about this, Mr. Dan, is that we are, a lot of parents are on their knees. They are asking God for help because they're seeing even the children suffer. And that is one of the most troubling things to me. And, you know, you talk a lot, you have shared with me your thoughts about Hitler and, you know, what he did to young people. And I think to myself, isn't that just like the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy the most precious things to most families are their children? And a lot of these children are going to be of the age of accountability, yet the school that we trusted is now going to be misused to really lead them to sin, to accept sin as good.
Exactly. You know, we worry about this Obamacare thing being such a bad thing, but Common Core is 10 times worse than that because that's got the ears of the children.
And I think about that scripture. That scripture that, you know, we talk a lot about, it's better to hang a millstone. Can you tell us a little bit about the background on this scripture?
On what the?
It's better to hang a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the depth of the sea than to lead these little ones to stumble. Could you tell us a little bit about that scripture, how powerful that is?
Well, it's very powerful because, you know, Jesus was referring to his kingdom as being as the children, the innocence of a child. You know, when you start messing, you know, first of all, in the scriptures, it orders us to bring up our children in the knowledge and admiration of the Lord. And then we send them out of our homes and we put them in the hands of evil people who are doing just the opposite. They're not admiring the Lord. They are destroying any teaching of the Lord. Anything scriptural, they're destroying. So how are we raising our children up in the admiration and the knowledge of the Lord when we're sending them out to gain their knowledge from a worldly system that is geared to change their whole mindset? You know, you read statistics, when a child, especially in college, their first year of college, within that first year, they have pretty much, they're going to make up their mind if they're going to be agnostic or if they're going to continue following any godly beliefs. And it's hard for those who choose to try to keep their mindset in the scriptures when everything, every day that they're being taught and learning pretty much is geared to change that mindset. Thank God right here in South Alabama that the Gideons, that we still have the permission to go on to these campuses and to pass out scriptures to help, you know, get the knowledge of the Lord out there. And I think it's a powerful thing, especially at Troy State, how unique that is when it's an international school and students from all over the world attend there. Chinese, Muslims, and, you know, from countries all over the world, and we're able to put a testament in their hand. And God said his word would not return void. And I have faith in that these, some of these scriptures will bring fruit that we will never be able to realize.
Oh, that is incredible, Mr. Dan. And really, during these end times, That is one of the most wonderful things to be able to do, is to tell them about the truth. And that's what I think is so important sometimes. People say, oh, let's just be nice to this person and not tell them the truth about this lifestyle. But while Mr. Dan's serving somebody, I'm going to just share a few things with y'all listeners, because he is working at the same time that he's trying to take care of this. So hold on, and we will go ahead and play a little bit of music while he is doing that. So just bear with us, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, please.
The heart of heaven beating, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, and the hush of mercy breathing, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the host of angels sing, glory to the newborn King. The sounding joy repeating, Jesus
saves. Okay, Mr. Dan is back with us. Go ahead, Mr. Dan.
Lost my train of thought.
Well, let's just talk about this then, Mr. Dan. If we can talk about what you're hearing going on in Israel and its neighbors, that is very interesting to you.
Well, I don't know if anyone listens to Benjamin Netanyahu when he comes to the United States. He gave a talk at the UN again, I believe it was last week. And he just stressed to the United Nations building that they're not going to get any help, that they're going to have to stand alone. And they're not afraid to stand alone. And in their standing alone, they will protect the innocent nations that they think need to be protected that are close to them. It's shocking to me the way that Benjamin Netanyahu is treated when he comes to this nation. And Israel has always been our blessed ally. I mean, they have supported everything that we do. They have shared technology with us, and that's where our roots are from. I mean, that's where Jesus walked. You know, I mean, it goes on. You can go down in the Old Testament. That's where the Old Testament saints walked. But it seems like the governing that is going on in Washington right now has no concern for Israel whatsoever, and pretty much not anything in the Middle East unless it helps their cause somehow. But Israel is not going to bow down to this new Iranian president's comments that he's a peaceful man and they don't have any nuclear weapons and so on and so forth. Israel knows better. Why did they do all their working with these things underground and in secret if they're not using it for evil intentions? So they're not being duped. Now, our president is getting duped. You know, he believes that Iran is a peaceful nation, and now that they've got a new leader, that everything's going to be all right. Well, I don't buy that. Neither does Netanyahu. But scripturally, the prophecies talk about all these nations around Israel, like a swarm. In fact, the very word itself, Arabah, where the word Arab comes from, means swarm. It's also used for the word locust. And if you read in the Book of Revelation, it talks about the locust swarms. The locusts are going to swarm over Israel. But God is going to protect a remnant of people, and He's going to come physically and put a stop to, in Matthew 25, Jesus says, "Lest no flesh be saved, I come." It's going to be some bad times. Two thirds Israel is going to be wiped off and the people are going to be killed. So it's going to be some really bad times. But before these things can happen, the different Muslim nations that are surrounding Israel have to come together in one mindset, and that's not going to happen until these nations collapse and then the new Muslim Brotherhood leadership takes over. And that's what's happening. And as soon as the Muslim Brotherhood leadership takes control of enough of these Muslim nations, they will set up a caliphate. And then all the decision-making will come from one group rather than a bunch of different factions. So once that organization comes, that's when things are really going to get bad.
You know, it's sad what we're hearing, Mr. Dan, about, you know, the Christians, and there's really hardly any news on what's going on with the Christians in Syria, in Egypt. What are you hearing?
Well, it's so bad, and it's not televised. You know, we don't hear about it on the news. It's not broadcast. But just in let's see, I'm thinking of the name of that Christian city in Syria. It's Ulalu. It's an Aramaic Christian city. It's pretty much been completely destroyed. They don't even know the number of casualties because the people. I mean, there has to be somebody left in the family to report somebody missing, and they just killed everybody, so nobody knows who's missing and what. And we got to keep in mind that was not done by the Syrian government. That was done by the rebels that are going against the Syrian government that we are trying to support, or Obama's administration wants to support. We don't even know the death toll, but there is a lot of them. And those are people who speak the same language Christ spoke, the Aramaic. They're a real spiritual, righteous people. It's a shame that that happened and nobody's done anything about it. You know, there's an Armenian quarter in the old city of Jerusalem. They have a representing in the old city. You have the Christian quarter, you have the Jewish quarter, you have the Armenian quarter, and you have the Muslim quarter. And that's got to be a sign in itself. The Armenians pretty much represent the Middle Eastern Christians. The Coptic Christians in the south, in Egypt and Yemen and places like that, same thing is happening to them. Now, their form of Christianity is a little hard for me to accept because it's a little bit distorted that Christ didn't really get up on the cross and die as a human. He died, he was a spirit, and so on and so forth. I can't agree with that, but still, they call themselves Christians, and they believe in Christ. And yes, they're getting slain. It's a sad thing, but and then, there, of course, there are the Pentecostal Christians and stuff all through the nations. All the Islamic nations have, you know, different factions of different religious groups like we have in this nation. We have the Baptist, Methodist, and so on and so forth. Well, they have different types, too, that believe in different degrees just as we do. And I'm sure there are factions down there in churches that have been destroyed, and even home churches that we'll never know about. But as Christians, it should be our responsibility to have this these people in intercessory prayer because they're part of our body. You know, when we're just so caught up in the world and not paying attention to what's going on over there, I think God's going to hold us in judgment for that because they are a part of our body. We are one in Messiah. And it's important in your churches, when they ask for prayer requests, pray for those that are being persecuted that are part of the body of Christ.
Wow. Oh, thank you for reminding us of that. Mr. Dan, I remember seeing, on the internet that even children, you know, are being decapitated and all that. And we don't hear anything in the news. We do not hear a thing in our mainstream media about it. And it's...
No. The women and the young girls, it's okay for them to get raped. I mean, in Islam... you know, to rape one of their own kind is a bad thing, but it's nothing to rape an infidel. So we don't realize it's not just a killing. It's evil ravishing of these people. It's, you know, they kill the men and then they just ravish the women. We should not tolerate that at all, especially in North Africa and Sudan and Kenya and these places where these Christians are getting slaughtered in mass numbers. Now, those Christians are the fruit that has been planted but from seeds of our missionary work that we have gone through and done in those countries. And they're a forgotten people, too, but they don't have any oil or anything like that, so why should we be interested?
Well, I did get to meet one. I got to meet one of those people at a conference with Stormy O'Mardian, and it was just really very humbling to hear her because, you know, she was a little child, and she was one of those, you know, we hear about the children that had to walk in Sudan, and she had to do that, a small child, and she got raped. But it just breaks your heart, all these sad stories that you hear all over the world, and really, you know, we don't hear. We don't even hear. It's just so silent. But yet, when it's the other side, you know, oh, their rights is being stepped on. And they're really using our system. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Dan.
I was just going to say, right here at Troy State University, there's a man from Sudan, a young man, that saw his mother and his sisters raped and killed, and his brothers that were younger than him killed, and they took him off and you know, trying to make a soldier out of him, and he escaped. And he knew where to run. He knew where some missionaries were, and they paid for him to come back to this country and be able to go to Troy State University for a place to stay. But listening to his witness is awful. Can you imagine common Christians in this country having gone through that and still having a praise for God and still lifting up the Lord? You know, we can't even comprehend some of the stuff that these people go through. It's beyond our reasoning. The fruit that somebody like that is giving off and his witness, because, you know, it reminds me of Christ when he was at Gethsemane praying before he was hung on the cross and he sweat blood. He knew what was fixing to happen. And, you know, prophetically, the very name Gethsemane means the olive press. And what is the olive? Olive is the fruit. And the olive oil is the fruit from the fruit, is the stuff that's usable. And sometimes, you know, we were talking about the trials and troubles that we go through as his children. That's, you know, when we are getting squeezed and pressured, like an olive being crushed, and that oil that comes out of us, that is the determination to continually serve God, no matter what happens to us in our lives, to continue to, you know, to uphold the gospel. And that reminds me of Matthew 25, of the 10 virgins. Five of them had oil in their lamps, five of them didn't. Well, what is that oil? That oil is the substance that comes from their fruit. Those that didn't have oil, what were they doing? They were out whoring around with the world. They did not have an intimate relationship with their bridegroom. They weren't paying attention. They were paying attention to the world. So all of a sudden, when it came time for the bride to come, they don't have any oil in their lamps. Well, it's the same situation now. We better get some oil in our lamps. And how do we get oil in our lamps other than continually bear fruit? And how do we bear fruit? As we have a relationship with our Maker, studying his scriptures and talking to him constantly, working in his fields, whatever he leads us to do, keep our mind foremost on him. He's our bridegroom that's fixing to come get us very soon. We ought to be excited like a woman ready for her wedding day. We're getting close, and he's not going to take those without oil in the lamp home to visit his father. It's just not going to happen. What happens
is
they don't have oil, they knock on the door, and what does he say? He says, turn from me, for I never knew you. Well, It's not that he never knew them, because he knew them. He was betrothed to them. What it means by not knowing is an intimate relationship. You know, you didn't spend time with me. You were emailing your buddies. You were playing your video games. You were so concerned about your job. You were concerned about your bills and buying more stock in the stock market and upping your portfolio and going to Hawaii and doing this and doing that. A lot of people have lip service and praise God, but their hearts are far from him. And this is the day and time that we need to get serious and get our hearts right with Christ, because he's fixing to come claim his bride.
Wow. Well, thank you for this reset button today, Mr. Dan. I needed it, and for you that are listening, and if you don't know the Lord and you're just looking down at this and saying, oh my, there they are with that garbage again, you know, we really invite you to come to know the one that we are talking about, because, Mr. Dan, he's such a good God. He loved us so much that he gave his son to die on the cross. He did not even withhold his son, and his son obeyed. He could have, you know, done something else. Legions of angels could have come and taken him off that cross. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. And he listened to the Father's will. So, but Mr. Dan, it's like this. Yeah, we have to persevere, and it's not good. It's not good for the people in all those other countries that we were talking about, the Syrian Christians, the Coptic Christians, Iranian Christians. It's not good for the Chinese Christians. They're suffering. And we here in the land of the free, home of the brave, we're free to choose whatever we want to do with our lives, pretty much. And, yeah, we're suffering today because the economy is not doing well. It is hurting us in a lot of ways because, you know, it's out of our control. And I think in America, Mr. Dan, you know, for the most part, a lot of Americans, you know, if you work hard enough and you try to do this and do that, maybe you put the right money in the right stocks, you might think that you had some control. But in reality, you really don't have any control. The enemy's after you all the time. You just don't see him. And it could be your wife's prayer. It could be the husband's prayer. You know, we don't think about the value of that prayer, Mr. Dan, but when I think about the many times that he probably, you know, ends up protecting us from just throughout our day, I mean, it's really sometimes, I think it's a miracle that we live there a week or maybe even a day. So, you know, we don't see it, but that praying is so powerful. And I dare say if you're not a Christian, you have a hole in your heart and nothing can fill it really but the one who made you. And, you know, we don't know who you are, what you are, and what your thoughts are, but we do want to invite you to get to know him who gave his all for you, because he is worthy, and, you know, he's not going to tell you wrong. And it's wonderful, Mr. Dan, because at the end of it all, I mean, we win. As bad as it sounds, as horrible as it is, and even those Christians who are going through this, this is why they don't negate what they have come to know, that Jesus is Lord. And a lot of them, right, Mr. Dan, go to their death proclaiming he's Lord. And that's something that, you know, we don't see so much here in this nation.
Yeah. There might someday be put in a situation where we have to make that decision. I mean, we've seen it happen in this nation several times already, going even back to the Columbine, where the girl, you know, professed Christ and she got shot by Klebold or whatever his name was. Things are changing so rapidly, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, even us here in the middle of the Bible Belt don't realize the stress that some Christians are going through up north in, say, Boston and Detroit and some of these bigger cities where there's so much decadence and evil. You know, the persecutions in the school systems and stuff up there have to be much worse than they are down here. But
we do have a lot to be grateful for, and I think this is why, while we can still speak, we speak And, you know, it's just really so important to share. And I thank God for all the churches in Alabama, you know, that do speak and give the good news. But I dare some of them to also speak about the other things, the truth, which is the enemy is after the mind of the children. And I'm thinking, you know, how hard is it, Mr. Dan, for pastors to say, okay, you can give information out and let, you know, the parents know what's going on. All they have to do is allow that information to be given out, you know, by some of the people there sharing the truth. And I think about, what is the scripture, Hosea chapter 4, my people perish for lack of knowledge, I think verse 6. And what's after that, and because you have rejected my knowledge, I will also forget your children, Mr. Dan. And
yeah.
I think, isn't that a little bit of where we're at? There's so many in the churches that's rejecting the knowledge. I have even heard pastors say, I don't even turn on anything. It's almost like hear no evil, see no evil, and they think they do no evil. But it almost reminds me of the sin of omission, because aren't they supposed to be the ones watching out for the flock?
Yeah, and it's like it seems like the problem is, getting down to boiling it down, our ministers, our pastors are being paid, and they're not going to speak what the Holy Spirit wants them to speak because they're afraid they might offend somebody. But if there ever was a time when the pulpits need to be on fire for saving this nation, it's right now. And we're not. It's sad. We can't depend on our churches to get us out of this mess. We can't depend on our churches even to get us saved or into heaven. It's our relationship with Christ. We've gotten to the point where the only thing that we can depend on for our hope and our future is the Messiah and his coming, seeking his righteousness, seeking his kingdom, and all these other things will be taken care of. He promises us that. He's never broken a promise. So those Christians that are listening that have given their heart 100% to the Lord, depend on that promise. He will take care of you during these times. He will order your footsteps and take care of you. And those of you that aren't on the wagon need to get on the wagon of righteousness and give your heart to the Lord so you can be saved through these perilous times.
Well, Mr. Dan, I am getting prepared to hopefully share the good news, the truth, with some parents tonight. And so please keep us in prayer, because I think to myself, you know, children are the center of families. And, you know, we fight for the children. But how can parents fight for the children when they don't even know that the children are in trouble? So we really need to be praying against the issue of Common Core, because I just think about all these kids at that age of accountability, Mr. Dan. You know? And they're going to be misled.
This Common Core and all these other things, this closing of the government, is coming from our administration. And I was just looking over at the computer screen, seeing all these old 70 and 80 year old men that's been arrested because they went in to see the monuments, World War II and the Vietnam Wall, which, by the way, was not built by the government. Money was donated from these veterans and stuff to have these things built. It's an open area. There's no tour guides or anything, but yet, just as being spiteful, they're arresting these men because they are going through the barricade. Because of Obama.
Well, I hope they're not arresting. Now, I did see a picture of some men that I think they were in New York, and they were honoring, you know, some kind of a memorial, and it was in New York that they were taken away for supposedly disobeying. I think they were doing it late after a certain time or something like that. And, you know, this is sad when that rule, that common sense does not trump, you know, that man-made rule. But hopefully, I hope that's not them, because I'm thinking that a million Veterans March or whatever is coming up in Washington, they're just going to fire more people up. I can see a lot of people going to that Veterans March. Well, Mr. Dan, in closing, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to invite those that don't know him, and also to pray for those that are hurting. You know, if you're the breadwinner and, you know, or you're the spouse of a breadwinner and you see, you know, your family in shambles because of what, unfortunately, the economy has done. And, you know, we're gonna let Mr. Dan just speak to you some, hopefully, words of comfort, Mr. Dan, if you don't mind.
Yeah, the only hope that mankind has, because we are just fleshly beings. We were given a spacesuit, a body for our soul to house, to make a decision while we're here for the short period of time we are, and that's to decide whom we're going to serve. Are we going to serve light, or are we going to serve darkness? Are we going to be forever separated from our Creator? Are we going to have a glorious eternity with Him? And it's so simple. It's just asking Christ to be your Messiah, to ask to His atoning blood. There's life in the blood. He gave His blood so that you may have life. Just accepting what He did for your sins by getting up on that cross is accepting Him as your Messiah, and you will be saved. Now, from then on, it's just learning about Him. Read His Word and talk to Him like you would talk to a friend. He's right there. He loves you, and He'll give you a love in your heart that you can't even explain to anyone around you. Everybody who has given their heart to the Lord knows what I'm talking about. It's an unexplainable joy that only you experience when you give your heart to the Lord. You are comforted. You realize that you are protected. And yes, those out there that are in trouble and needing, financially distraught, God always comes through. It may be not at the time that you would like, but He always comes through. He always takes the bad and makes good things out of it. Now, the way to make sure is to be obedient. What moves the hand of God is obedience to Him. He's just like a parent, a child who you've promised an ice cream cone to. If they're nice when you go to the grocery store and they throw a fit in the grocery store, you're not going to buy that child an ice cream cone. It's the same thing with the Father. If we're obedient to Him, then He keeps His protection and His promises over us. We have to focus on Him first and the kingdom with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might, and He'll take care of all the sufferings. So just place your hope in Him and watch how things change. Watch how He orders your footsteps. Only He can open doors that you see in front of you that are impossible. Only He can do that. So, Lord, we just ask You to see to the needs of the folks that are out there listening. Lord, we ask You if they're Christian or not Christian. Father, just rain down Your Holy Spirit on them. Reveal Yourself to them and show them who You are, Father, that You are the source of love, the source of true light and life. Lord, I ask You to bless them and glorify their lives. Take care of their families. Lord, show signs to them that You are who You say You are. And, Father, give them hope here in these last of the last days. Be with us and our families and everything that we do, Father, and help us to serve You, putting Your kingdom first and You as our King. And we just praise You and thank You for all that You do for us. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Dan. Oh, folks, you just don't realize how much it meant to me. So, unless, of course, it's happening to you, too. I really feel like Mr. Dan helped me reset my thinking. And so we hope that you'll share the broadcast. And, Mr. Dan, are you still blogging? Do you have a website you want to direct them to? I know you've been really busy.
EphraimBlair.com, but I haven't blogged anything new in there in quite a while. I've got to get busy. I stay so busy preaching and teaching that I've kind of neglected that. I need to get back busy and start doing that. So thanks for
Well, it's like a resource, so if you don't mind, just can you share with them the blog site? Because, you know, you've gotten years' worth in there anyway.
That's just Ephraim Zero, just blog Ephraim Zero Ministries, and there'll be articles and things. It's based on Hebraic roots. Basically, my belief is to take everything back to the roots of Christianity, which is Hebrew, the Jews before Rome contaminated Christendom, with a lot of pagan practices. And so a lot of the writings there will be very messianic-minded, first-century way of teaching and worshiping.
Well, I think it's time. So tomorrow, if you can join us again, Mr. Dan, we will have Zev Perot from Israel. So come on tomorrow also. So listeners, we hope you'll tune in tomorrow at 1:30. And, of course, the show is recorded, so it's available on podcast to listen when you have time. So may God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill. Thank you, Mr. Dan. Goodbye.
Bye.